Hi, my name's Amy Vaughan Teague, and I'm here with another lovely young
Alex.
And
my name's Alex.
Yeah, we know your name's Alex, darling. I wanted you to say it for yourself.
Okay.
We just hope you we have stuff to say to you that is of interest. We hope you enjoy our conversation.
What's it about?
The conversation is about challenges in mental health and how we dealt with it, and how we brought ourselves through our experiences
it.
Through it, good and bad.
Yes, absolutely. There's certainly, I think we've noticed that we've been in the system, the psychiatric system, and I think the experiences we've had don't really come across as individualistic. It happens to everyone right across the board. Treatment, style of treatment, nursing, style of nursing, and as we get to the apex of it all, Maison Mouty and the luck that we've had to have actually come across Maison Mouty for because even though Maison Mouty was growing and growing as a company offering health and social care services,
it's been the best rehab rehabilitation house I've ever been in. I've been in therapeutic communes before. I've been in halfway houses, and being here has really managed to make me heal and understand myself better. And I always need to hang on in there. Any shred of hope you hang on in there with, that's all I can say in life. You've got to keep on hanging on and know who you are really and just hang on in there.
And if we go back a little bit, was it, did you become subject to the revolving doors?
No, I didn't. I went in about 5 times in my life. I'm 41 now.
Yeah.
And I went in the first one was 18, then when I was 19, then when I was 23, then when I was 29, and then when I was 35.
So the intervals were all very different.
And they were all very different situations.
Yeah,
I was in.
Yeah. Yeah. When was the last time?
About 5-6 years ago.
And when did you come across?
I completely had an absolute nervous breakdown about 5-6 years ago. I thought I was in the lap of the gods.
Yeah.
I thought, like, I was unbelievably delusional, and I got the help when needed.
Yeah.
And I got the right sort of help for once.
It's good that it fell into place eventually. Yeah. It took a long time.
It took since 18 to get myself back to understanding myself, near who I am as a person, I think.
And do you think where you were 5-6 years ago, the situation was most conducive to facilitate decisions made not for you but with you about the care for Milton Park?
When I lived in Milton Park, I was 29.
Right.
St Mungo's. And that was, I had to make sure I was in the right mindset for that. And
yes.
It was very good fun, but they weren't as great as Maison Mouty in understanding when you were ill.
Yeah,
so I got very unwell at that point, about three years in.
How do going back to that time 19, five or 6 years ago, how did you feel about decisions that were being made?
I didn't see any decisions that were made for me. I just went into hospital, and I wouldn't believe my mother was my mother. I thought someone else was my mother.
Yeah.
And as soon as I realised she was my mother, they said, right, you can go.
Yeah.
But they wanted me under a CTO, community treatment order, because they're worried about, they said I was still vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I didn't mind that decision being made for me at all, because I thought I think the best thing is to actually trust the psychiatrist. Yeah.
Did you?
I did trust the psychiatrist, yes. But when I was younger, I didn't. I wouldn't tell them anything.
Mm-hmm.
But as I grew older, I learned that you've got to tell them stuff. You want to get help. You've got to tell them what's going on for you. Otherwise, you're not going to get the help.
Well, exactly. That's a very good point. When you come to a point where you're thinking, if I say something to a clinician, a psychiatrist, if I hide what I'm experiencing symptomatically, the diagnosis that you had, to say if I told them the truth, they'll hospitalise me.
I was already in hospital, so I just thought, tell them the truth while I'm in hospital. When I first went in there, I had the choice of either going in or not going in. They asked me if I felt scared or not. Was I scared to not go in, or would
they,
I come
and
in?
And did they further
they said, is it dangerous for you to stay out of hospital? I said, no, I need to go into hospital. And I was like, I knew I was unwell, but I also had it was like a massive It was amazing. Letting go of all that shit. It's just amazing to do sometimes when you actually, it's like a biggest nervous breakdown after all of the situations I've been in before.
Yes.
It was immense. And I found the whole 9 months in hospital very interesting for some reason or another. I just found people I was meeting.
What about your ability or your capacity to perform day to day, make little day to day decisions?
Well, now I'm pretty much independent.
But I'm thinking on the ward and the hospital.
Oh, back then?
Yeah.
I can't remember. They didn't really make decisions for me. I was either allowed out or wasn't allowed out. I kept absconding with men.
So you were more autonomous in how you were?
I kept absconding with men and I kept getting in trouble.
Good
for
memory
that.
At that time?
Yeah.
It might have been. Yes, excellent. I mean,
they brought me in again and
yes.
They used to take us out for cigarettes regularly and
food
on for us all to
what
munch
about
on
your ability to communicate?
I wasn't very good at the time. I was very much caught up in it's almost quite spiritual.
Yeah.
I was caught up in other stuff that was in my mind and rather than dealing with people on a one to one level, and it felt like people were
Always been on a verbal or a non-verbal?
On a verbal level, I wasn't. On a verbal level, I wasn't communicating so brilliantly.
So did you have
any
other...
And there were people there sort of preyed on my vulnerability.
Yeah.
That was the one bad thing, is that things that let's say I was asking for some cigarette, they'd all give each other cigarettes, and they wouldn't give me one because they thought I was, sotting on them or something, and I wasn't.
In relation to that, especially in hospital, and a few times you were there, if you let me read this little bit of report. We'll look at good practice and bad practice by professionals. Always compromise where possible. Is it easy? Is it frequently staff and careless?
The staff are amazing.
How did you find that the assumptions about other people's lack of understanding?
I wasn't in a conversation of mind to even think about other people's understanding. Some people seemed very steadfast and knew what they wanted, but I thought they're in hospital, so they're alone here for some reason or another.
Yeah.
A lot of people had delusions of, I know it sounds horrible, but a lot of people were delusional about rape and things like that. A lot of people thought
Would you say, yes or no, if a person decides to have a shave, or not to have a shave.
It's your choice.
Is that person's prerogative?
Yes, it is that person's prerogative, yes.
Okay. And how if you were in that situation, how would you communicate that? Bearing in mind that you should
be... As a patient, I'd just
be
like, oh, why don't you have a shave?
Well, if you are at the heart of the decision-making process...
I'm not a doctor, though.
No, but I mean, it is granted before anyone can say, oh, you don't have the capacity to shave yourself. Therefore, a decision has to be made to shave for you. How do you feel about that?
I think it's an infringement.
You don't. Okay. That's smashing. And if a person is not to be treated or unable to make a decision unless all practical steps to help...
If it's going to leave them vulnerable by them answering making this decision, I think they should have help with it.
Yes, yeah.
But if it is a decision whether to cut their hair or shave a beard or go to bed, I think
and
it's their choice.
How would you prefer a nurse's... steps to try and coax you, which was when it was said that. Should they hear you? Should they make sure that you can see and you can understand what they're saying visibly?
They had no right to tell you how to dress, but they never did.
Rather say to them, come back in a time of the day when I'm more awake? And then in the morning, so at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
It does matter when you're speaking to, yeah.
Okay.
Because everyone in life has mental parameters where they're better at speaking about themselves than other times.
Yes. Supported decision making. You ever felt the need to be supported with decision?
Yeah, I had to be supported with the situation to leave my old flat. And he had to make that decision for me that I was too vulnerable to live, go back there, which I was cut up about, really cut up about. But it was true. I wouldn't be able to cope there.
And do you feel that all necessary practical steps had been exhausted with a move to a capacity assessment? You said it did happen. Would that be as far along as cognitive impairment?
If you what do you mean by that?
Cognitive impairment, was really an inability to appreciate and fully perceive the environment around you.
No, it wasn't that. It was because of my relationships with other people.
That's good.
And how I, at the time, was vulnerable in situations.
Okay. Do you want to elaborate? Do you want to tell more about... We go back to the hospital.
Well, I've had some really good times. When I was 23, I had an attempt... wasn't a life attempt, it was like a cry for help. I jumped off a balcony.
Yes.
And I'd been there already, and people came through for me at that point. And they all came back through for me when I got into hospital. Like, you shouldn't have done that ever. Didn't ever do that. It was so kind to most of the people that were there.
Yeah.
And they had a massive party at on Christmas.
Yeah.
Around Christmas, when they opened up all the wards, and they had food everywhere, and they had a massive party.
Yeah.
And they had like a radio station on site. And we danced and we dressed up, and I won best dancer for £10. It was so much fun. Like, sometimes the hospitals do really, really encompass the people that are there.
And the general environment.
But the bad points are...
How did you feel about or relate to cultural, ethnic,
I was always scared, but I was scared at night.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved living and being around all different kinds of people. I loved it. I found it fascinating.
Yes.
And it was good because you're not cooped up. You can't. You're not monitored on what you can say. You can say what you like, do what you like, really.
Yes.
And all hang out in a hospital, can't you?
Yes. Basically.
But the bad things I have heard is, like, a friend of mine went to hospital and he was suicidal and he committed suicide in hospital, which should have been protected. And another guy I know ended up was given too much medication and died on medication overdose, which is really scary because hospital is meant to be a helpful place to be in. And when you've got fears like that put through to you, you don't want to be there.
And did that coincide of you being in a quite vulnerable position generally?
Well, no, that happened after I was in that position. I have been in vulnerable positions before, and very, very vulnerable ones. It feels like no man's land. And at times it felt like amazing Arcadia.
Did you feel that there was enough... relevant communication of your needs and preferences recorded and to be implemented into your care plan post-hospital?
What do you mean, after hospital? I don't think I have had enough conversation with the my team.
Yes.
But Mesa Motti have done an excellent job in keeping me well.
Yes.
And they don't play in your head, they don't play with your mind about things.
Yeah,
you might be thinking about, but they don't play with it.
No,
they try and bring you through it.
It's rather clinical.
Yeah,
yeah,
not clinical. It's like a very therapeutic atmosphere, I think. And I've lived in therapeutic communes before, like really good ones. We talk with they believe in speaking therapies, and we do that here anyway. We all speak about our shit here.
And about that with Ms. Almorty, did you feel that the staff or relevant persons
these days, the staff are amazing. They've got everything right. The house here was really hard before. We're living with the wrong people.
Do you feel that it was better to get to know them and respond after getting to know them?
No, I can't say how long I've known everyone who works here now in this house, but I've got quite a good sense of judgment.
Your very first interview with a member of staff.
I can't remember it.
Okay.
I remember them coming into hospital and I just said a whole load of rubbish about who I was.
Yeah.
And I was completely delusional.
Yes. Yeah.
And about my life. Like I thought all the stuff had happened to me that hadn't.
Do you have high values of engaging a persons always with dignity and respect as a unique individual with a disability?
Do I feel they've always treated me with respect?
Both ways.
I think yes. I think definitely yes.
Yes.
And I'm not saying I did things in my life that I didn't.
I'm trying to see finish
something.
Their
I want to finish something about what I said to the people who came to see me in hospital. I was so pleased they understood that the difference between what I have been through and what I haven't been through. And I could work through it myself. And then I'm like, why did I even say that? That's so embarrassing.
Yes.
But I have been through a hell of a lot of stuff, which I still go on about today.
Of course. I mean, trying to see the world from their perspective.
No, I'm not trying to see the world from their perspective. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just relieved that I've got better. I've recovered hell of a lot from what I was.
But would you say that by your life and the way you were and how you saw it, did it aid your ability to
see? I don't know what you mean by the way I saw it. I just saw life as life. I don't see how I see it.
Yes, yeah.
I don't know what you mean by that.
Yes. Remember, with just some skills, do you find that over the few years you've built up like communicational skills? I mean, you're an extraordinary listener. You have a very high social ability and tendencies to... I mean, you're out every night of the week. You have some wonderful friends. You have a great social surroundings. A network, yes. And,
I've built on that. I've built on that since I was in my late 20s.
It seems
And I feel like my life is really growing and thriving.
Very important.
And I'm making sure I make the right decisions in my life because I don't want to get... I don't want to walk into some black hole or...
We're coming up to time. Maybe we can have two minutes. Then. And so we can come...
But hospital's really what you make it.
Yeah.
And all I hear is it's getting better and improving and improving and improving.
Yes. Okay. It's time to draw this part... Part one to a close.
And by the way, I want to give you three songs to listen to. Yeah, 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 Maps, Smashing Pumpkins Tonight, and The Panics, Don't Fight It. Next time I'll say three more songs, and then hopefully I'll play some on my music on another podcast to you guys. And I want to hear back your feedback.
Everyone, look forward to speaking again.